In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we are reading an article that E.A. Elam wrote on the Sabbath. He wrote this a part of the Sunday school lesson for January the 22nd, 1928. And we're going to continue reading that article, and we'll probably have time to get on into the next lesson then, following the reading of that, in this class period of the Warren County Radio Bible School. Before I get into finishing that article on the Sabbath, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me complete the reading of this article about the Sabbath day. According to the law, Jesus said, the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless. Of course, Jesus is mocking the Pharisees and the scribes who had erected their own laws about the Sabbath. And if you followed what they said to the T, why, the priests couldn't even do their duties. The priest, by God's authority, profaned the Sabbath by preparing and setting in order the showbread, Luke 24 and verse 8, and by offering the regular burnt offerings on every Sabbath, Numbers 28, 9 and 10. It was not wrong for the priest to do this. And hence, this shows that the Sabbath could fit in with the other things that God had authorized and ordained. It did not take precedent over those other things. Then Jesus, the Son of God, as Lord of the Sabbath, he could set it aside. You know, they did not know when they were criticizing Jesus, but this law of the Sabbath was the law of Jesus to begin with that was given at Mount Sinai. In order to carry out the temple service in obedience to God, the priest prepared the showbread and made these offerings on the Sabbath, but one greater than the temple is here. Jesus is above the temple because he is the Son of God and has authority over the temple services. Since, therefore, the priest profaned the Sabbath in order to carry out the temple service on that day, Christ's authority over the Sabbath must be regarded, for he's greater than the temple. Moses was a servant in God's house, but Jesus, as a son in God's house, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by so much as he had built the house, and hath more honor than the house. And he that buildeth all things is God. Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 6. In this then, of which the Pharisees had accused Jesus and his disciples, they were guiltless. Had the Pharisees known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, they would not have condemned Jesus. This is a quote from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. Sacrifices of the kind specified in the law were required, but sacrifices without mercy were an abomination to God. The Pharisees were strongly condemned for their lack of mercy in Matthew 23 and verse 4. They condemned Jesus for doing deeds of mercy on the Sabbath, while they themselves bound grievous burdens upon the people. We must show mercy and avoid the sins of the Pharisees. Now, as we've already noted, Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath. He says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, Mark 2:27. Since he was Lord of the Sabbath and the Sabbath was made for man, he could set it aside when the good of man demanded it, and this he demonstrated. Neither Moses nor any other mortal is called the Lord of the Sabbath. If priests, in the preparation of showbread and the sacrifices of divine authority, could do what the Pharisees call profane the Sabbath, and be guiltless, how much more could Jesus, who is greater than the temple and the Lord of the Sabbath? Thus Jesus showed his authority over the Sabbath law itself. The Sabbath, as stated above, was a sign and a covenant between God and the children of Israel, a sign between me and you throughout your generations, and a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It was not a sign and a covenant between God and other nations. It was one of the commandments, ordinances of the first covenant, one of the Ten Commandments written and engraved in stones, which came with glory, but which glory was passing away in Christ. For that which passeth away was glory, much more that which remaineth is glory. 2 Corinthians 3:7-11. Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses and took it out of the way when he died. Though Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ, God made a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This was not according to the covenant which he made when he led them forth of the land of Egypt, or gave them the Ten Commandments. And then he saith, a new covenant, he made the first old. But that which is becoming old and waxeth aged is nigh and vanishing away. Hebrews 8:8-13. In this new covenant, God gave the world a new day with a new purpose. 9 of the Ten Commandments were incorporated into this new covenant. The only one to observe the Sabbath is left out. It was the positive law of the Ten Commandments. Its observance depended wholly on the authority of God, and when this authority was withdrawn, there was no authority for man to keep the Sabbath. God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, ordained the first day of the week as the day of worship for all his children. The Sabbath was never changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. The first day of the week is another day with a different purpose. In the New Testament, it's never called the Sabbath or the Christian Sabbath. It's never observed as the Sabbath. By divine grace, the apostles taught churches to meet upon the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20, and to otherwise worship God according to his direction in the new covenant. The apostles met with the Jews in their synagogues on the Sabbath as opportunities to teach the people. But the apostles and the church of God observed no day of worship except the first day of the week. From the very first, the church observed the first day of the week as a day of worship. It is not true that the Catholics, or that Constantine, the first Roman emperor who embraced Christianity, changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day of the week. Constantine, having embraced Christianity, made the day which Christians from the beginning had observed as a day of worship a legal day of rest or worship. Our civil authorities now exact Sunday laws. Well, so did Constantine. Under Moses, circumcision and the Sabbath were God's positive laws. Under Christ, baptism and the Lord's Supper are his positive laws. God has changed his positive laws with each dispensation. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change of the law. The moral law has never been changed. From that day of rest for man and beast is necessary, is seen in the institution of the Sabbath. But the teaching and example of Jesus and the apostles show that the first day of the week is the day which God has appointed and now approves for worship. Well, that's the end of that article on the Sabbath. I turn the page, and I come to a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 29th, 1928. It's a lesson about the growing fame of Jesus. The lesson text is found both in Mark chapter 3 and in Mark chapter 6. Let me read that one from Mark chapter 3. It is verses 7-12. And Jesus with his disciples withdrew to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, about Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, hearing what great things he did, came to him. And he spake to his disciples that a little boat should wait on him because of the crowd, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, inasmuch as that many had plagues pressed upon him, that they might touch him. And the unclean spirits, whensoever they beheld him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he charged them much, that they should not make him known. The second lesson text is found in Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and moored to the shore. And when they were come out of the boat, straightway the people knew him, and ran about that whole region, and began to carry about upon their beds those that were sick, when they heard he was. And wheresoever he entered into villages, or into cities, or in the country, they laid sick in the marketplace, and besought him that he might touch, as it were, the borders of his garment. And as many as has touched him were made whole. The lesson text, or the golden text, is Mark chapter 12 and verse 37, where it says, The common people heard him gladly. The devotional reading is the first part of Isaiah chapter 60. I will read Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 9. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But Jehovah will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons come from far, and thy daughters shall be carried in their arms. They shall see, and be radiant, and thy heart shall be thrilled, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned into thee, and the wealth of the nation shall come into thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praises of Jehovah. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of Jehovah thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. In the geographical note for this Sunday school lesson, we note the three provinces of Palestine extending from south to north: Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Consult the map and become familiar with these divisions of the country. Jerusalem, the capital of the nation, was in Judea. The city of Samaria, from the day of King Omri, was the capital of the province by the same name, and Capernaum was a principal city of Galilee. Other geographical notes will appear in proper order in the body of this lesson. We'd already learned from Matthew 4:23-25, where Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sickness among the people. And the report of him went into Syria, And they brought unto him all that were sick, and hold them with divers diseases, and torments, and possessed with demons, and epileptic, and palsied, and he healed them.